Good morning. My name is Casey, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the public finances and the public debt report for the third quarter of 2006. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to introduce Mr. Garcia Tomei, Undersecretary of Finance and Public Debt. With him is Alejandro Werner, Head of Economic Planning Unit, and Gerardo Rodriguez, Head of Public Debt. Mr. Garcia Tomei, you may begin your conference.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Mexican Ministers of Finance conference call on public finances and public debt report for the third quarter of 2006. As it is usual in these conferences, I would like to make some remarks on the macro public finance and debt developments that we have observed during the reporting quarter. And then we would like to open the session for questions and answers, where I will be joined by Alejandro Werner and Gerardo Rodriguez, who are head of the Macroeconomic Policy Unit and Public Credit Unit here at the Ministry of Finance. As it is usual also in these in conference calls, everything that is said is going to be off the record. So for the press people who might be joining us today, we would like you to take that into account. There was a press conference yesterday where by Alejandro Werner and by some other members of the Ministry of Finance where the press issues were addressed. So I would like to start with the macroeconomic development. The Mexican economy continues expanding strongly, although at more or moderate rates than during what we observed during the first half of 2006. GDP growth for the third quarter of 2006 is estimated at a real annual rate around 4.3% after posting a rate of 5.1% during the first half of the year. If this growth forecast turns up, the economy will have grown at a quarterly rate of 0.5% according to seasonally adjusted figures. Among the available economic indicators for the third quarter, the following stand out. The monthly GDP proxy, the IGAE, posted a 4.7% annual increase in July-August. Aggregate demand strengthened and significantly favored economic growth. Exports and gross fixed capital formation were its most dynamic components. At a more moderate pace, household consumption continued constituting a fundamental driving force for growth. In terms of internal sources of growth, in July, fixed capital investment grew 11.1% in real annual terms. Investment in imported machinery and equipment grew at an annual rate of 15.9%. At more moderate rates, investments in domestic machinery and equipment and investment in construction grew 9% and 8.3% respectively. Household consumption continued expanding. During the first quarter, the real value of Walmart's sales grew at an annual rate of 16.8%, while ANTAD, which is the organization that groups the remaining big retail stores, these ANTAD sales grew 13.2% annually. According to INEGI, wholesale sales grew at a bimonthly annual rate of 9.9% in July-August, in the July-August period, while retail sales grew 2.9% in the same period. During this quarter, external demand also constituted a key element of growth. During the third quarter of 2006, the nominal U.S. dollar value of total exports grew at an annual rate of 16.9%. Within this, oil and manufacturing exports grew at an annual rate of 17 and 16.6% respectively. Additionally, imports increased 17.7% with respect to the same period of the previous year, due mainly to increases of 24.3%, 16.8%, and 15.9% in consumption, intermediate and capital imports, in that order. In July-August, the real value of industrial production grew at an annual rate of 5.9%, although this rate exceeds that of the first half of the year, which was 5.4%, a deceleration of productive activities taking place as shown by seasonally adjusted data. In the period of July-August 2006, the production of services expanded at a 4.7% annually. In August, banking credit to the private sector grew 30% annually. Within this item, credit for housing was the most dynamic component and grew at an annual rate of 82.3%, partially affected this figure by the acquisitions of some portfolios by some banks, but nevertheless, even adjusted for that effect, the rate at which credit for housing is increasing, it's quite strong. Consumer credit and credit to businesses also grew at rapid rates, showing increases of 45.4% and 11.4% respectively. During the third quarter of 2006, the strong economic expansion increased the formal job opportunities. During this period, the number of employees registered at the Social Security Institute grew by 289,000 people. Therefore, during the first 9 months of the year, 835,000 jobs were created, the highest increase for a similar period on record. At the end of September, the number of workers insured by the Social Security Institute stood close to 14 million people, which implies an annual growth of 6.9%. Let me turn now to talk about the public finances figures. In the first 9 months of 2006, the public balance posted a surplus of 139.2 billion, which is 32.4 higher in real terms than the one that was registered in 2005. The primary balance up to September posted a surplus of 325 billion pesos, which is 15.8% above the surplus that was registered for the same period of the previous year. The public sector's budgetary revenues were 1.674 trillion, which is 14% higher in real terms than those of 2005. Budgetary revenues were 205 billion higher than those considered for this period in the revenues law for 2006. Of this amount, 93.4 billion pesos come from non-oil tax revenues, 54.2 billion pesos come from oil revenues, almost 34 billion pesos come from non-tax revenues, and close to 24 billion pesos come from public entities under direct budgetary control, different than Pemex. Non-oil tax revenues grew 15.4% in real annual terms in the third quarter of the year. Among its components, the 17.9%, 16.9%, and 15.6% increases in receipts from import taxes, the VAT, and the income tax stand out. Oil revenues grew 15% in real terms due to increase in international crude prices. Also worth highlighting, the federal government's non-tax revenues increased 11.3% in real terms, and resources from public entities under direct budgetary control, excluding Pemex, increased 9.3% in real annual terms. During the first 9 months of 2006, total public budgetary expenditures reached 1.54 trillion pesos. In real terms, this is 12.6 more than what we observed in the year 2005. Primary expenditures, defined as total expenditures net of financing costs, increased 13.3% in real terms with respect to 2005 and reached 1.36 trillion pesos. In relation to public expenditures during 2006, the following is worth noting. First, budgetary investment and investment fostered by the public sector grew close to 23% and 22.2% in real terms, respectively. expenditures channeled through communications and transport development and agricultural and forestry development increased 38.2% and 10.7% respectively in real terms with respect to what we saw during the same period of 2005. The Federal Electoral Institute's expenditure increased more than 100%, 104% in real terms. Most of this increase corresponds to the additional expenditures required for the electoral process. Finally, the public sector's financing costs during the first 9 months of 2006 increased 7.9% in real terms compared to the same period of last year. This was primarily due to higher expenditures on lenders and borrowers support programs and on interest payments related to financed investment projects Pidiregas, according to the approved budget. Finally, and moving to the public debt, let me go over first. Let me first go over the federal government's obligations. At the end of the third quarter, the federal government's net debt totaled 19.3% of GDP, which is 0.3 percentage points lower than what we saw at the end of 2005. Within this item, the federal government's domestic debt at the end of September amounted 14.4% of GDP, which is an increase of 1.3 percentage points with respect to what we saw at the end of 2005. In terms of the debt composition, the participation of fixed rate peso-denominated bonds in total government securities rose slightly through the first three quarters of 2006, going from 48.4 to 48.5%. The average maturity of government domestic domestic securities increased by 0.72 years, going from 3.3 years at the end of 2005 to a little bit over 4 years at the end of the same period, at the end of the period which is being reported. The federal government's net external debt stood at 4.9% of GDP at the end of the third quarter, which is a 1.6 percentage point drop with respect to what was observed at the end of 2005. All these changes in the debt composition reflect the operations that were carried out to substitute external liabilities for peso-denominated obligations. Among the most relevant actions that results in the third quarter as part of the debt strategy, I would like to highlight the following. First, new securities, which are called bondes de, were issued for an amount of 135 billion pesos to purchase approximately $12.4 billion from Banco de México's international reserves. These resources in foreign currency were then used to finance the repurchase of a series of global bonds and the prepayment of several loans from the Inter-American Development Bank and the World Bank. Also, the first series of the U.S. dollar warrants, the ones that allowed the substitution of the 20-year securities in U.S. dollar for domestic obligations, were exercised, and as a result of that, an exchange of approximately $500 million of those maturities occurred. Finally, the placement of the 30-year peso-denominated fixed nominal rate bond was announced in the third quarter. This operation was successfully executed in October, placing 30-year bonds for 2 billion pesos. Investors' appetite for Mexican government securities, as displayed in the exercise of the warrants and the placement of the 30-year peso bond, reflects the positive long-term expectations about Mexico's economic prospects. And with this, I would end my comments, and I would like to move into the questions and answer session. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star one for any questions or comments. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. As a reminder, please press star 1 for any questions or comments. Your first question comes from Eduardo Goris.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for hosting this conference call. It seems to me that the revenues from non-oil from taxes, it's a pretty good figure, and this extraordinary income you received coming from non-oil sources, it's quite interesting, especially seeing that taxes, the IVA and the income tax are pretty strong. Could you tell us something more about it? How much does it come from activity, and how much does it come from doing a better job at collecting taxes? And well, that would be my first question. And my second one, how much would you expect the GDP to grow this year and the next one? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Eduardo. Thank you for your questions. As it was reported in the comments, we have had some additional revenues or extra revenues from the ones that were estimated in the budget, and a big portion of them are non-oil revenues. The ones coming from the different taxes have been growing at rates at quite strong rates in the neighborhood of 15%, all of them. No? So this is quite a good figure. This would represent additional income in the neighborhood for and this talking about additional income coming from taxes in the neighborhood of 120 billion pesos, which is quite a strong figure. For the distribution on what should be attributable to more activity and what is attributable to a better job collecting taxes, I would ask Alejandro to make to make some comments. Before that, and going to your second question about our estimates for growth for this year, what has been obtained from the private sector analysts, which are surveyed by Banco de Mexico, is that the estimates for growth for this year were in the neighborhood of 4.5% for this year. I was yesterday in a conference where Governor Ortiz participated, and he moved his estimates to 4.7%. So that's according to the survey that they conduct, the latest estimate they are making for next year. The estimation continues to be at 3.5. No?
Okay. Well, I don't really want to get too technical on my first question, but you realize that when we are talking about fiscal reforms and all these, perhaps there's pretty much that still can be done in terms of collecting taxes under the current schemes that we have. And certainly, the results you have provided this year are a good basis to start with. So that's where my question really focuses on. Just to mention.
Okay, let's hear Alejandro on more or less what the distribution is on this income on this income coming from taxes.
Right.
Okay. Let me just be extremely quick, trying to explain the 15 real increase in the income tax and the VAT. If we take the VAT tax and you look, for example, of how durable goods consumption is growing at a much higher rate than general consumption, and given that our VAT basket is biased towards durable goods, in that sense we have the base of the tax maybe growing between 5% and 7%. So that explains between 1/3 and 1.5% of the increase. On top of that, we have the formalization of the economy, or at least retail sales that is taking place through the expansion of Walmart and other big retail stores that are growing at around 13-14% at annual rates. So that explains another important part. I would say one-third the increase in the base, maybe one-third with relation to the formalization of the economy given the expansion of these stores, and the more generalized use of electronic means of payment. And then another third of the increase may be explained by increased efficiency in tax collection. Regarding the income tax, I would tend to say, obviously, I mean, firms' earnings are pro-cyclical, and in that sense, with the economy growing at such a high rate, we are having very high earnings, and that is helping tax collection at the firm level. The same is true with regards to personal income tax, with employment growing at 7% rate. On top of that, we have had some one-off effects regarding some a judicial process that ended during this year and was favorable to tax collection. So I would tend to say that maybe on the income tax you have a lowest or a smaller component regarding efficiency that might be explaining one-fifth of the increase that we are seeing, and the rest is composed by cyclical factors and one-off effects that are helping tax collection during 2006. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, if there are no further questions, we will conclude this conference. Thanks very much for your attention.
This concludes today's Mexican Ministry of Finance's conference call on the public finances and the public debt report for the third quarter of 2006. You may now disconnect.